Amen. I just know and I just really truly believe this morning that you are not here by accident, but you're here by divine appointment. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, divine appointment. Come on. Our God doesn't do things by accident. Our God does things on purpose. Come on, someone say purpose. And there's a reason why you're in the house today, and there's a reason, family online, you are tuned in to Inspire Church, because God has something for you this morning. For you this morning. And, you know, I just love the prayer and the worship. Aren't we just so glad that we've got such a blessed worship team in this house? Come on now. Come on now. Amen. Amen. I'm going to call it out today. I reckon we have the best worship team in the world here at Inspire Church. Amen. Amen. God is good. Come on. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been speaking about our core values here at church. And our core values are actually the essence and the DNA of this house. And our prayer today as our leadership team, as we preach through the core values of Inspired Church, we pray that the Holy Spirit begin to minister to your heart so that you can take what these core values are and apply them to your life, and that you may grow in your relationship with Jesus from glory to glory. Come on, can I hear an amen today? God wants to take you from glory to glory. He wants to move you forward. He wants to take you forward. He wants to move you into the plans and the purposes that He has for you. And there are yes and amen. Can I hear an amen today? Amen. And so the past couple of weeks, we've been speaking about two core values. And the first one we spoke about is discipleship. And if you've not had a chance to join a life group, can I encourage you, please do that. Because that is where during the week you can grow in your walk spiritually with Jesus. And that is so, so important. We don't do life groups for the sake of life groups. We do it because we understand that growth happens in small spaces together when you are united under the Word of God. Come on, amen. And that you can receive something of His grace in its entirety in Jesus' name. And last week, Pastor Oral spoke a fantastic work on servanthood. And if you've not had a chance to catch up on those words, or maybe you want to share them with a friend, check out our YouTube channel. Check that out, maybe share it with a friend and let it be a blessing to you in Jesus' name. But today I will be focusing on our third core value, and it's this, a lifestyle of prayer and worship. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, a lifestyle of prayer and worship. Come on, turn to your other neighbor and say, a lifestyle of prayer and worship. Let me ask you this. What is lifestyle to you? For some, its lifestyle is going to the gym and getting healthy. Come on. Come on. Some of us, it's putting on gym clothes, but yet going to the ice cream parlor after the gym. Come on, can I hear an amen? Or maybe smashing McDonald's and you call it pre-workout. Amen. Or maybe for others, it's having toys in the garage, having toys in the kitchen. Come on. Come on. Or maybe what does lifestyle mean to you? Maybe your idea of lifestyle is on that magical holiday with your spouse, having a gelato as you cruise down the Amalfi Coast with a Vespa, dodging the Italian traffic, speaking to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I don't want to meet you just yet. Come on. What is lifestyle to you? Maybe lifestyle to you is playing an instrument and cultivating a home atmosphere of worship and prayer. Let me ask you, what is lifestyle to you? Because lifestyles do not just happen out of the blue. Come on. They don't just happen. Come on. Lifestyles do not just happen. I was thinking about this. A lifestyle is really a reflection of what we truly believe and what we truly desire. Come on, amen. In fact, we will even work so hard in order to achieve the lifestyle. We will do things that the normal person wouldn't do. We will work so hard to ensure that the dream and that thing that we are wanting in our heart, hey, we're going to make it happen. People said it can't happen, but hey, it's in my heart. It's going to happen. I'm going to make it happen. As you look at different parts of your life, they are truly a reflection of what's happening in your heart. In fact, you can look at parts of your life and you will see that your lifestyle is reflected. It's reflected in your bank statements. It's reflected, come on. It's reflected in your diary. It's reflected even by what your spouses and your children are telling, maybe could be telling you. Come on, can I hear an amen today? 1 Thessalonians, let's get some word in today. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 says this, rejoice always. Someone say rejoice always. Come on now. Pray without ceasing in everything. Someone say everything. Hey, give thanks. Come on. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Someone say you. So we understand that the lifestyle is a mirror of our heart and an outward display of what is really happening on the inside of our lives. The word says, out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. So therefore, a lifestyle is a reflection of what is really, truly happening in our heart, what we truly want and desire. If you're anything like me, a hopeless musician, you've got all the gear but no idea. Come on. Come on. You can come to our house and check it out. We've got the whole band set up, but have no idea how to play an instrument. It looks good. Thank God for my wife who can play everything. Come on, amen. There are some people in the room today, you thank God you've married a spouse that can cover up all your deficiencies. Amen. Come on, amen. I'm certainly grateful for that. But lifestyles don't just happen. They just fall out of the sky. It starts off with an interest in a particular something. You start off to trade your time in for research for what it is that you believe will make you happy and will make a difference in someone else's life. Before you know it, you find yourself researching Facebook market, Googling, and all of those other things. Sitting on forums, trying to work out and spending time to find out what's going to add value to your life or someone else's. But let me ask you a question. If that can happen for stuff that only can give temporal satisfaction, come on, hear me out today, temporal satisfaction, can I ask you what would happen if we put the same amount of energy, the same amount of time, the same amount of resource into something that will have eternal significance for the future but also make a difference now in your life and in your family? What would happen if we were to take the same amount of impetus that we put onto something temporal onto something eternal? So the question is, how do we cultivate a lifestyle of prayer and of worship? The first thing we need to do and understand is this. We need to rejoice always. Come on. Two words, big meaning. Rejoice always. Someone say rejoice always. The word rejoice is a verb, meaning that a verb is an action word. In fact, in the context of Scripture, to rejoice was to a call to joy and often used as a salutation. That's why it's good to be not just people who read the word, but we are students of the word. Come on, can I hear an amen today? Because sometimes we can read, and it's a wonderful thing to read. But I want to encourage you to go a little bit deeper, where you get in the presence of the Holy Spirit, you do a little bit of research, you spend time under the Word, and you become a student of the Word of God, so you can receive in context everything that the Word has for you. Or else, you can be someone that only understands 30 to 50% at the expense of the extra 50 to 70% that is so much more value to your life and to the generations to follow in Jesus' name. Rejoicing then is a gesture and it is an utterance made as a greeting of acknowledgement. Well, this will change the way tomorrow morning when you go to the office or to the warehouse. It'll change the way very differently when you're sitting in your truck and you're doing a delivery to a company. It'll change the way you greet the foreman, the way you greet the person at the desk next to you. It will change the way you'll greet the doctor if you're a nurse and you're about to see someone get operated on the operating table. It'll change the way you speak to people. Remember that our lives need to be a reflection of the grace of God that He has so freely given us. Come on, can I hear an amen today? Our lives are meant to be a reflection of that. So the next time you get into the office, and instead of just saying hello, how about giving someone a compliment? Come on, we're talking about scriptural context. Sometimes we read the Word of God and we think that's nice. But I want to tell you something today. There is a big difference from just being a hearer and being a doer. Can I encourage us today that we take the Word of God, when it says rejoice always, scriptural context, meaning to give a blessing, to utter a blessing, and to put joy over someone else. Can I encourage us this week, someone say this week, that we actually do that. If you're a leader in your workplace, it's a double whammy. Think about it. What you're doing is you're building emotional equity with that person. And if you can build emotional equity with that person, if you're a business leader, even if you're not a business leader. And by the way, leadership has got nothing to do with titles. Come on. Leadership has got nothing to do with titles. Leadership has got to do with influence. And when you can put into someone's life and you can bless them, and you don't have to be all religious about it. You bless them, you have influence. We need to have Christians to have influence in our workplaces. Come on, can I hear an amen? There needs to be a Christian voice. And how does that happen? We do that by taking the Word of God and applying it to our lives and to our workplaces, and then that'll give us influence in Jesus' name. In fact, if we look, and you might think to yourself, does it really matter? Absolutely it does. Because there is someone that God has put in your life that actually needs to hear what you have got to say. Pastor James, is it really important I've got to say? Absolutely it is. There is someone that God has allowed to be in your world that you can exercise the Word of God, and therefore when you exercise the Word of God, there is the blessing that comes upon you and comes upon them. Because one thing I've learned with walking with Jesus, the pipe that delivers is always the one that gets wet first. Come on, think about that for a moment. You want to be a blessing to someone else? You start blessing someone else. And you allow the manifold blessing of God to touch you and touch that person in Jesus' name. In fact, if we look at Scripture, this is very evident in Scripture. In Luke chapter 1, verse 42, when Mary went to see Elizabeth, her cousin. And I want us to pay attention to what Elizabeth declared and spoke over Mary. Then she spoke out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." You got to understand something. It was not just that she was just trying to be nice, and she probably was, but she wanted to be a blessing. She wanted to take what was actually taught and actually applied. And the thing is, for us today, we need to learn to apply the Word of God. Don't let it be something that you just read and just enjoy for yourself. Take the Word and apply it in Jesus' name. There is somebody that needs to hear it. During the week, I had an opportunity to actually put this into practice with a supplier. And I gave him a call. I was looking to get a quote for something, purely a business transaction. But I just felt in my heart that I need to bless this guy. So he picked up the phone. I rang him. He said, "Hello, mate." I said, "Hey, how you doing?" I said, "Hey, I just want to tell you something. Mate, you do an awesome job at what you do. You're that good. I reckon you deserve 6 stars on Google ratings, not just 5. How are you?" That set the whole tone for the conversation. And I say that to say this. When we bless people, do not do it with a motive. Come on. We live in a world that's like, hey, you do this, I do this. No, that's not how it works in the kingdom of God. We bless people. We bless people whether we receive anything or not. Come on, amen. We bless people with the Word of God. We bless people with our words. We bless people with a cup of coffee in the morning. We bless people with our actions. Someone, let someone in your life be a recipient of the blessing that God has given you. That's why the Word says, "Give and it shall be what?" If you want to receive from God, you need to give. I'm going to call it out today. You need to give. The next thing, if we want to cultivate a lifestyle of prayer and worship, is this: we need to pray without ceasing. Now, I grew up in church. I've read the Word of God. But there's something about this Word that used to scare me a little bit, because I don't know about you, but I actually like going to sleep at nighttime. Come on. If you're a night owl, I understand. But I actually like sleeping. And I could not understand, God, why would you say in the word, pray without ceasing? And sometimes we can read the word of God and take it literally without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to say this today. When we read the word of God, you need to sit under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Come on. Don't just read it like you're reading a newspaper. Read it with that says, Holy Spirit, I'm submitted to you, and I'm going to read your word, and I'm going to wait for you to speak to me, and I'm going to allow you to talk to me. And as I hear what you've got to say, I'm going to let it take root in my life and do something with it in Jesus' name. Can I hear an amen? That is why you need to have room for the Holy Spirit in prayer. I learned this very quickly, that I had actually got prayer wrong. I thought that I had to come to God with a myriad of words. Come on. Come on. Come on. God this, God that. You've got to start articulating. And I can talk a lot. But even I came to God, I was like, God, this is going to be really hard. Pray without ceasing. I'm going to be talking for forever. I'm not going to even talk to my wife or my kids. Like, how's that going to even happen? But I learned something. Prayer is not a chore. Prayer is a time where we get revived from the Holy Spirit. Come on, hear me out today. Some of us come to prayer and we do all the talking. Come on, we do all the talking. God this, God that, God this, God that. And you know, I was thinking about it the other day when I was chatting with my wife and I was doing all the talking, and my wife looked at me and she goes, you gonna let me have a word? I say that to say this. Some of us, we have made prayer a chore where we feel we need to do all the work. But prayer is not a chore. Prayer is a time where we talk to God and we allow Him to talk back. Come on, come on. Some of us need to learn to quieten our heart before the Lord. Amen. Some of us need to learn to just close the mouth just for a little bit and stop all the thoughts going through our head and quieten our hearts, because you could be facing something, a breakthrough that you need. You need a bit of knowledge. You need to make a tough decision, and you will not hear the Holy Spirit speaking unless you learn to quieten your heart. Come on. There comes a time in prayer where prayer is not about work. It's not about chores. It's about allowing the Holy Spirit to speak back to us. And that's why there are going to be times when you go to prayer, you will just stop and you will just open up your heart. You won't even have to say anything. Well, you can say, Holy Spirit, I'm yours. Come and speak to me. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm listening. Come and talk to me. What is it that you want? How do I deal with this issue? How do I deal with this person? How do I deal with this circumstance? And then you know what you do? You listen. Speak, Lord. Your servant is what? Listening. Listening. We need to learn to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's where it's a starting point, and that's where an intimate relationship happens. From a one-way conversation, it becomes more fruitful, where you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit through your mind, through a conversation, through someone, even through a verse of Scripture. Some of us today, we do all the talking in prayer at the expense of allowing His voice to speak, and therefore we miss what we are really needing to hear. Come on, come on. This week, some of us need to shut the door and just go, Holy Spirit, I need you to talk to me. Come on, I need you to talk to me. That business decision you're about to make, that partnership you're about to embark, you need the peace of the Holy Spirit on that. And I can tell you, you know also how the Holy Spirit speaks to us. If there's an uneasiness in your heart, it's probably not right. Come on. Come on. You don't just need an audible voice, but there's an uneasiness. You know when the Holy Spirit agrees is when there's peace. Come on. Some of us today, you're not in peace about a situation that you're facing and you'll wonder why. I want to encourage you today. You need to have peace in your life. The Holy Spirit doesn't come to cause a ruckus. He comes to give you peace. Come on. He comes to give you peace. He is going to let you know that it's okay. I've got you. You can rely on me. It's what the Holy Spirit's saying. And for some of us, say we are too reliant on ourselves. We do that by talking a lot and speaking from someone that likes to talk a lot. Come on. I've had to learn that for myself. But the most valuable time in prayer is not when I'm talking, but when I'm listening. And when I'm submitted to the voice of the Holy Spirit and I quieten my heart and say, Holy Spirit, what is your way? Do you agree? Is that okay? Do I have the green light? Do I have your permission? So praying without ceasing takes on a very different light. I do not come to God with a flood of words. There is no need to work out the best way to articulate and to explain everything to God. Instead, praying without ceasing becomes a place of rest. Come on. Pray without ceasing becomes a place of rest, not a place of work. Some of us are doing overtime when it comes to prayer. It's become a chore. But if prayer is not a place of rest, then maybe you need to rethink. Are you really praying? Rest will rejuvenate you. Rest will bless you. Rest will bring healing. Rest will bring restoration in your life. Rest will do so many things. You know, this has become really clear to me with our children. Who knows that you can learn a lot from your children? Come on. When Alicia said to me one day, she'd come and she grabbed my hand and she goes with her little eyes and a little hand, Daddy, can you just come with me? Can you just hold my hand? Can you spend time with me? She wasn't asking me to give her a sermon. She wasn't asking me to give her advice or anything like that. She was not interested in that. She just wanted to be with her dad. Come on. We need to learn to be with our dad. Come on. Some of us are spending time without our dad, and that's why it's a mess. Can I encourage you today? We need to spend time with our dad. And you know what it is? Time with our dad, quality time, sometimes means not talking. Because it's hard to hear the conversation of someone else if we're the ones talking. Come on. Who knows what I'm talking about today? The last thing, if you want to cultivate a lifestyle of prayer and worship, is this: in everything we give thanks. This is not just a good idea. This is a God idea. Knowing that when God says what He says, that we must obey. And I understand there are times in our lives where we think, you know, God, I can't give thanks for that. But I want to encourage you with this. Sometimes giving thanks for a circumstance is hard and maybe inappropriate. But I want to tell you, giving thanks to God is always appropriate. Come on. It is the right thing and is the only thing to do. Even when I don't understand it, even though I can't explain it, even though I can't articulate it, even though I can't fathom it, God, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to thank you because I know that you've got my back. We need to get ourselves to a point where we stop getting angry and cursing the problem. And start looking to God and say, God, I know that you are working all things out for my good. I do not understand it. I do not need to. I just need to trust you. I just need to thank you. I need to position myself in a place of gratitude and honor. And when we do that, we are speaking to our heart. Some of us say, you know what? You need to speak to your heart. And when you speak to your heart, the word of God, it's a reminder to the heart that heart, you do not have the final say, God does. That when I submit myself to Almighty God and I thank Him, I'm exalting Him higher above every circumstance and every situation. And I get to a place where I might not fully get it, but I know, God, you are who you say you are and you are working it out for my good. Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. A lifestyle of prayer and worship doesn't just happen. Come on. I'd like to think that I give my life to Jesus and automatically it happens. It doesn't happen that way. There's a series of decisions that need to be made. And when we decide, it becomes an outward expression of what's really in our hearts. It becomes a lifestyle. This is evident in every part of our lives, from our bank statements to our diary. It's evident, it's clear. So really, worship is an expression shown by reverence and adoration to our God that is shown by the way we live. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Get into a place of rest. That's what that means. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.